Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick Pekosik from Roby Commercial and Services on Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Why are you staring at me funny?
Sunday morning,
9 to 10.
I'm staring at you funny. Why
you're giving me the crook
eye? That's how you get
Hey, man, listen.
That's how you get your head snapped off.
Listen.
Come on.
It's your birthday today.
Yep.
Smile big. That's good. 40, it is. 45.
And we got a special show. We got my good friend Matt Doran on the show. I don't know if I said his name. I say your name correctly. I always mess it up. I'm good at that.
That's okay.
And he texted me yesterday and asked if he could bring his two daughters.
Yeah.
So we have them in the studio, and then we're going on a big family vacation, so we're going to go ahead and record another show after this show. And Piper, my youngest daughter, is in the studio, so we have three young ladies in the studio.
Yeah, man. We got rising fourth grade, rising sixth grade, and rising seventh grade.
That's how it rolls, dog.
The good old days, man. You remember, I mean, we talked about this in the last show, but do you remember being a kid at y'all's age, with school being out? Oh, man. Like, you're heading to the beach.
And we're going to the beach on my birthday. Oh. It's good. I mean,
life's good.
So, let me tell a story about my dad and going to the beach. He would always say, we were supposed to leave at like 12.
I know where
12 p.m.
Going.
And he said, I got to go into work and check on some things. So he would go into town, and every 30 minutes, my mom would call him, and we're standing at the phone going, where's daddy? Where's daddy? Where's daddy? And he'd get home by 6. and then we still had to pack up the car, the old station wagon or the minivan we had later. And we would get down to Myrtle Beach about 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're all geeked up. And he never had a hotel room, but we always had to stay. He was an OG. We always had to stay on the ocean side.
Dang right.
And he would start on the north side of the main strip. And every time, and back in the day, this is 35 years ago plus, I'm just turned 45. I mean, Myrtle Beach was bussing. I mean, there wasn't many vacancies at 1 o'clock in the morning on a on a Friday night.
For a family of five.
And every time he saw a vacancy light on, we'd get all excited. And we'd watch him. We'd get out, oh, God, it's a place. This is cool. And he'd go in, and you'd see him bantering with the counter, the owner-operator, typically the counter guy. And you'd see him, and he'd throw up his hand and do this. And he'd come back out. Did we get it? He's like, nah, we're going on down the road.
So let me get this. It would be all five of you, and would you stay in one room? Or would Papa Ron splurge for room number two?
I can't remember, but I don't think we ever got two rooms.
That's part of it.
And typically, because of this habit of my father's, we would be going to the beach for 7 days, but we'd have to move in like 3 or 4 days because he couldn't get a whole week. So I would build my whole social network at this one hotel motel.
And you get a whole new one.
Then I'd have to leave. Hey, it was bad. I did not want to leave.
When you're your teenager,
I'm going to come back and visit you at the pool.
I got a new hotel.
So
let me give you my beeper number.
I mean, and he, you know. My brother talks about it. He would. My mom would be hollering at him. He'd be in the hotel room with
right
the air
now.
Conditioner blaring because I don't think we had good air conditioner growing up. He had that window unit blasting through the wall, and he'd have it about 60 degrees. He'd be in the bathroom with the door shut, bidding a plan.
Your dad,
pretty funny, right?
Would he ever get out to the beach?
My brother's like, man, you wonder how many times he caught them plans on fire with them Vantage ultralights.
with the vent fan on in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Your mom banging on the door.
Right? He comes out, his five hairs, comb over's all messed up, hanging down.
I'll bet you that beach wind wasn't good to the comb over.
Oh, Lord.
But that thing was flowing.
And
we didn't
have cable either, for the better part of my childhood. So that was his most exciting time. He was going to get air conditioner and cable. He let mom take us out to the pool, poor lady. But she did good. She took care of us at the pool. So anyway, that's just a good memory. So I'm going to try to relive that memory with my kids now.
So you gonna bid some jobs in the bathroom?
No.
I was about to say.
I don't think I'm going to do much any of that. I'm going to try to go to the pool. I like to look for shark's teeth. That's kind of my guilty pleasure.
I hear you.
But we go to Surfside now. Mm-hmm. My mom has a house down at Surfside, and God rest your soul, Dad. So we have a golf cart, and we get to go ride around. We get to go to Garden City, to the arcade, to the pier. So it's a lot of fun.
Piper, you going to take them down some skee ball? No?
She can't beat me at skee ball.
Claw machine.
That's where it's at.
I mean, we like the quarter pusher game. You know,
the quarter.
It's kind of as close to a casino as you can get.
Well, yeah, remember we actually were playing golf with a guy that had a putter that he stole off the quarter pusher machine.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. It looked like it pushed quarters. It looked like a bulldozer. I said Knox has a fort like that. I was like, babe, is that a fort? She's like, no, it's just how he pushes his food around.
Oh boy. Jeremy, so, we love you, dog.
Yeah. So another memory of mine going to the beach is on the way back, about halfway, there was a gas station that had about 10 of those quarter machines.
Yeah, those were cool.
And I would always want to go spend my last $5 I had on those machines.
It's like a slot machine for a kid.
It
You're
is,
right.
Right.
And sometimes they put those big stacks of quarters on there. It's like $5. You get one of those bad boys.
I mean, little do you know, they're super glued together. You're not scraping
Why
one of those
are there 27
things
rows of quarters? I don't understand.
Man.
This one's 4 inches off the edge.
I'm so excited about this day. Yeah. I'm having fun. Are you having fun?
Having a great time. Yeah.
Well, good. I mean, I'm excited. Like you were saying, got the kids in here. Summer's in full swing.
That's it. Tell us about our guest, Trent.
Our guest, Matt Doran. We've been hanging out a little over a year and a half. We met on the golf course is where we met and become fast friends. And he's an entrepreneur and got a good story. I'm ready to learn more. We always talk, Matt, about how this show, the blessing of this show, it's like speed dating on steroids. We can hang out for years and years, but what we learn in these next 20 minutes is going to be valuable to our bond. All right? Sure. Stop winking at me. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I am. You're listening to At Home with Roby. We got Matt Doran when we come back. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. Patrick McIsaac of Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts.
Yeah, we got Matt Doran with us today.
Matt
How Doran. You doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you here.
He kind of sounds like he's from down by the river with you.
You know, when I was in college, I studied at in London, and when I was there, they're like, "What?" What part of London are you from? From the west side?
Do you remember the first time when we played golf at your place? So one of Trent's friends came up, and we're chatting away, and he said, "So how do you two know each other?" I went, "Same finishing school in Paris is really where we met." And he just carried on as though that was normal.
All right.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
I can't believe you got so much wit about you, Matt.
Wears off quick.
You
ask
quick.
My wife.
Them kids are like, "Oh, wow, finishing school, huh?" Well, I don't know what that is. He's over there Googling what finishing school is. If you didn't catch the first segment, we're on all social media aspects.
Yeah, Facebook,
so go check
LinkedIn,
us out.
Instagram.
But you might be catching us live on the radio, so I want to say that. That's kind of my new role to say that. So, Matt, where are you from, man?
I'm originally from England. To London and the southeast. Moved to the States in 2004, so coming up for 20 years.
Wow.
As you can tell, you know, picked up the New York accent and picked up the Charlotte accent on the way. No one would know I'm from England anymore, but been in Charlotte the last 4.5 years, so loving it here. The two girls with me today, very proud of, just finished school last week. So they wanted to come along and see where the magic happens.
Amen. You know they would be welcomed, right?
Yeah, we'll have to give them the golden tour afterwards. I do have to tell you something funny. I had a guy, I was a coach at my high school, and he was from South Georgia. He went to England for 2 years and came back to America and had an English accent for the rest of his life. I don't know how that happened. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I mean, he would have this strong.
From South Georgia.
He was from South. He might have been in England for a little while longer, but he grew up in South Georgia, went to England, heck of a soccer player, and then came back. He was a coach at my school.
Is that football?
I
just can't say
footy. He stuck. He kept the accent.
That's crazy.
How do you do that?
So I don't think I've ever had this conversation with Matt. Him and his other buddies that I know and hang out. Tom Donaldson's been on the show. Speak fondly of him. And so you were a professional soccer player, a football player.
No. I've played some semi-professional football. Semi-professional. When I was growing up, yeah.
Like I heard you were like AAA in comparison.
I don't know what that really
means.
Not the professional leagues, the league lower I've played in.
But not like five tiers down.
So there's four professional leagues, and then the next one down is sort of semi-professional. Wow. So you get paid, but.
Did you also race motorcycles?
No, I've fallen off a number of motorcycles. I think we've had this discussion.
With my various back problems I've had.
So neither one
of you.
My life actually sounds a lot better when you say stuff like that. I sound really much more interested.
So you came to America in 2004. Why did you come over here?
With work.
So
my then company, I was working in London, set up a US office, asked me to come and run sales for them.
Oh, cool.
I'd always wanted to come and try New York City. It was always, you know, growing up in London, it was very glamorous to look at TV and, you know, film or movies, whatever you call them. And, you know, when that opportunity came up, I snapped the hand off, really.
So, directly to New York City?
Yeah.
How long were you there?
15 years.
So what were you selling?
I've always been in the same business, which is really, you know, building, you know, trading systems, risk systems for banks and hedge funds, financial institutions. So did that for a number of years with the firm that brought me over. They got bought by another company. I did another couple of years there. And I had a really great boss at the time who just said to me, look, you know, you should go and do this yourself. These are all your contacts. You're sort of pulling all the money in. And I wasn't a partner in this business either. And so just 2010, just after I'd met my now wife, you know, she was like, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm about to leave and set up my own business. And July 1st, 2010, Doran Jones was born. Obviously, I'm not a marketing genius. You can work out who my partner's name was as well. Everyone's like, is it a law firm? No, we're nerds. So 13 years later, you know, we're 175 people, I think we're going
to
be
coming
up and work for most of the major banks. We've got an office here in Charlotte. We've got offices in New York, offices in Tampa.
Wow.
We do a lot of work, you know, trying to hire your veterans and folks from underserved communities to bring into the business. So that's been a real sort of passion of mine. And you know, my wife Kirby, when she was working with me, that was, you know, a big sort of back to the community thing that we wanted to do. And, you know, we've had a lot of learning experiences, I'll say.
Yeah, sure.
Balls ups, as we call them in England. But, you know, as I say, 13 years later, we've got a really good business and worked with some fantastic people, met some fantastic people. And, yeah, Tom Donaldson, who introduced us, obviously I've worked, you know, more closely with him. And he's introduced me to just a fantastic network of folks in Charlotte.
That's awesome. Y'all share an office, correct?
We do.
Yeah, East Boulevard.
Yeah, they give me a lot of hassle because I'm not in it as much because I've been a lot of travel recently. Well,
Phil Bushy, our good friend from Legion, who is partners with Tom Donaldson with Legion, I was like, man, I got that one day I came over there. I was like, I got to see Matt. I was like, he's like, I don't see him much.
No, I know. I really don't. I've been pretty much on the road all this year because business has just been crazy.
That's good.
I've been in every other week. Back in Manhattan or Tampa, and
wow,
it's really it's been
so 2010. I mean, right in the pinnacle of the Great Recession.
It was a great timing of it. It was dreadful. It was incredibly difficult to get any business, so we had to be, you know, very, very hardworking, persevere when, you know, it was not looking easy to get business done with big banks. You know, they were sort of shutting down small guys rather than investing around us. And, you know, fortunately I got a lot of great clients who I'd say also great friends, really fought hard, knew what we were all about, knew the type of people that we had. And, you know, I think, as I say, 13 years later, we've still got all the clients we had when we started, wow, the people that we started with. If they've moved, they've taken us with them to other, you know, to other banks. And we've just, you know, we've been great hiring some phenomenal people who've really, you know, helped build our business.
Well, so. Well, looking back at it now, I mean, what you went through in 2010 and having to have that grit and tenacity, I mean, do you think that's one of the pillars of why you're so successful today?
I think one of the things I've also, so one of my first clients was a chap, Bill Goodridge from JP Morgan. And he, 7 years ago, I'd said to him, anytime you think about leaving, tell me. And I brought him straight in, made him a partner. And the one thing I think he and I, you know, he's from, you know, very working class background in New York City, as I am, you know, from London. And one of the things I think we really hire for and is as important as, you know, technical skills is grit.
Yeah.
You know, when the going gets tough, how do you operate, you know?
Isn't that one of our words?
I mean, it's not one of our core values, but it's in there. I mean, we feel the same exact way. I know.
We speak grit all the time. I mean, it's so important. When the going gets tough and your knuckles are bloody, you got to keep fighting, right? Yeah. Like my dad bending those plans in the bathroom.
You know what? And you've told me, you know, a number of stories about your dad. Yeah. And it is, and I think that's one of the things I've always loved about hanging out with you is that, you know, the apple's not fallen far from the tree there.
Yeah.
And it's just fun, you know, to be around people who understand, you know, it's nothing's been given to you.
That's right.
Had to earn it.
I think we're blessed, right? Everything's 100%, an opportunity.
100%.
I try to be vigilant of third person viewpoint of how fortunate we are. I think the opportunities that we have and the things we get to do, I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All I knew was digging that ditch.
I did one when I was 16. I thought it'd be really easy if I could go and work for my dad. So I did this. There was basically a week you did when, you know, you were in your final year of school. And I was like, oh, I'll go and work for my dad, which would basically be a week off. I have never worked harder in my entire life. And I realized I'd want to have any boss apart from him going forward.
You're like, man, I'm going to New York.
Yeah, it really was. I'd go anywhere apart from working for this guy. But, you know, giving me that work ethic and, you know, I look at my girls and the one thing when they come home from school and you see a report card, as well as the attainment level, it's the effort that I see that their teachers notice they put in. And it's very proud moments when you see that.
Same
stuff.
Thing, buddy. All right, will you stick around for another segment?
100%.
This is so Thank fun. You. We got Matt Dorn when we return. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your host, Trent. What are you supposed to do if you just started tuning in?
Check us out on social media.
That's it, man.
And find the link. We're on podcast, but this is a radio show, Sunday mornings 9 to 10.
A radio show.
So what a wonderful segment. What do you think about Matt?
Matt's pretty cool. I didn't know y'all went to the same finishing school.
I mean, he's all right for a Brit.
I didn't know you went to finishing school.
This is the rabid xenophobia I get a lot. You know?
Yeah.
I'm surviving.
Hey, well, sorry.
When he talks about his partner he hired or his buddy that came to work with him. He called him a chap, right? Did I pick up on
Mr.
that?
Mr. Goodrich.
That's a lovely chap, yeah.
Mr. Goodrich, right? Yeah.
That is such a cool story. So where did you meet your wife, Kirby?
I met her in Miami. So she was with some friends at some sort of work function. And I was on what proved to be the most expensive golf trip of my entire life.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well played. Does she golf as well?
No, she does not.
Oh, okay.
No, she's at least given me that for the rest of my life.
There you go.
So where's she from?
She's from St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, okay. Petersburg, Florida. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So the accent works both ways. As soon as I heard her talk, I was like, wow, that's pretty nice.
So is Charlotte, was Charlotte a compromise halfway between?
Yeah.
It was very much because we hadn't set the Florida office up at the time. So it was really, we can go back to New York or we were opening a new office here. And we both didn't, ironically for me even, I didn't like the New York weather. It was too cold in the winter. And she's from Florida, so she didn't really like it either. And, you know, we decided we'd sort of set the office up here. As I said, my partner's, you know, New York, born and bred, and it was a better fit for me than it was for him, I think. And we've loved being here ever since. I mean, girls having a fantastic time. We've met some absolutely fantastic people.
So your partner's still in New York?
He is, yeah.
And you have an office, New York, Charlotte, and where else?
Tampa.
Tampa.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you have some, I mean, how many folks you have in Tampa?
That's actually our biggest, I think it's our biggest single.
Wow.
Well, it's right there. It's right there at St. Tampa. Yeah, is right, next right to, beside St.
Well, 175 total employees.
Yeah, I think
we've
got about 80 people in Tampa.
80 people in Tampa. Wow.
Goodness gracious.
I would have guessed New York.
Kirby is the bomb. The bomb mom. What do y'all think about that? I'm trying to get some brownie points. grease these young ladies up. Maybe we can get them on the last segment. Have a little fun.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a good idea.
What do you think about that?
I think that's a good idea.
I think it's cool to hear young folks' perspectives of the world.
We got to keep our P's and Q's. We got three young folks in the studio.
We do, and I've been watching my P's and my Q's today. So
the Q's are already – that's pretty tough to watch those guys with that little squiggly thing at the end. I don't know about that.
So you moved to Charlotte, and you met Kirby in 2010. You started your business in 2010. And when did you move to Charlotte?
4 years ago, about 2019.
Okay.
2019.
And that was when you opened the office here?
No, we'd been here probably 2 years before that, but okay. We'd sort of started to get a lot of momentum. We worked with, you know, Bank of America, Wells Fargo here, and, you know, we were building, you know, a decent business in this area, and it really needed someone to, you know, kickstart it and get it going. And, you know, that was one of the big reasons we chose Charlotte, actually, was the sort of large veteran community in North and South Carolina, because, you know, again, it was one of the things that we really wanted to do was, you know, take people who are leaving the forces and, you know, bring them into our business.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
We'd sort of seen, in New York in particular, some folks with great skills that had sort of been not so much ignored, but they, you know, it wasn't easy for them to transfer into civilian life. And, you know, we felt with the leadership skills and technical skills they normally had, they were a good fit for our business anyway. And so we tried to double down on that.
No, I think that's great. I mean, we are a very pro-veteran company. Trent's father spent two tours in Vietnam. We find the same thing. I mean, it's intangible skills, leadership development that we find. I mean, anybody that has military experience, especially, it transitions to what we do so well in the construction industry, and it sounds like it's the same with your industry.
Yeah, it really – I mean, we do a lot of, you know, project management, for example, which is really bringing people together as teams, but being able to operate, you know, manage senior stakeholders, you know, take business decisions on the fly. You know, it tends to be for veterans just a natural skill.
Yeah.
So do you consider your business tech, or do you consider educational services? Like,
no, it's definitely
technology.
Tech. We're not. So we don't do any of it as a charity. We just realize that there's great people in a number of different walks of life, to be honest, and we've got a really fantastic group of senior people who, you know, part of their reason to be at our company is not just to do sort of interesting project work with, you know, world famous banks and funds, but it's really to pass their skills on and coach and mentor. And those are the senior people. Those are the things we also look for. So, you know, we've built a really strong culture at the company. I think, you know, that's one of the things I think I'm most proud of at this point.
Well, culture is, I mean, we talk about it all the time. I mean, culture is everything. I mean, it is the most valuable thing that any company really can have as an asset. We work hard on it on a daily basis through various things. But just to hear your excitement about culture, I think Trent and I feel the same way, not to speak for him, but it's so important. I mean, it is the thing.
Well, and I think one of the things that always comes across in every part of interacting with you, Trent, is, you know, life and work, it's meant to be fun as well, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing where, and it sort of got lost a little bit in COVID. You know, we didn't interact, you know, with people physically as much as we did before, but we've really sort of made an effort to get back to that because, you know, just seeing new faces coming into the business, we want them to say, I want to be like this girl or this guy, and, you know, that's what I aspire to be in my career. And you really don't get that without the, you know, that interaction and, you know, we've really tried to sort of focus on that last couple of years.
Amen. We were in a different type of industry where we couldn't afford
it. It was probably hard during COVID to get that done. Yeah.
We didn't stay.
Our people had to work. And you hear it, frontline workers.
That's right, essential workers. I think
because I will say the unknown of COVID was scary.
Yep.
And it did have bad results for certain parts of the population as well. But you really didn't know what you were fighting every day. And we're so blessed our staff came to work every day.
They wanted to work. I think that's a testament to the culture.
And what you say, Matt, people with grit and with the right characteristics want to work because it makes them feel good.
Yeah.
And interacting with other humans is what we're made to do. And being positive and doing the golden rule. So, it's kind of cool to see the resurgence happening, especially your view in an industry that really went completely remote there for a while. And now they're saying, I think the pendulum's going to swing because they need to get their culture back.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we see is if you've worked with, and lots of us have worked together for a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
So, going remote for, a certain period, we didn't really see a productivity drop. Where it was very difficult was, and this, I assume, relates to your industry in particular, you're starting a new project, everything you do, and you're interacting with new people, and we have an element of that where we've got to know our clients, we've got to, and it's hard to do that on a Zoom call when you're not looking into the whites of someone's eyes.
It's really tough to build that relationship. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're the same as ours, 100% relationship driven. And without that interaction or without the, we're done with the project at 5, let's go get to know each other on a personal level from 5 to 7 kind of thing, it's a huge miss. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's where, particularly the banks, obviously they've invested a lot in infrastructure.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
There is real business rationale behind getting people back to work, certainly at least on a part-time basis,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's culture. And we talk often, that's why I was asking you, we talk often about how we're so fortunate to have the banking center, Hugh McCall's and the Ed Crutchfields that got this going. And now what it's driven is the technology side of the world is attracted to Charlotte because we attract talent.
Yeah.
And we got a good good life way to live here. The weather's good. You spoke about that. And now our culture and the diversity of everything.
When we were looking at this as a potential site for us, one of the really attractive parts was that I think it was along with Austin, this was the number one place in the country that young people wanted to come and live, which you'd normally think, okay, it's New York or something like that. And it wasn't. It was Austin and Charlotte.
Wow.
And having lived here now, really, you really see why. It's really sort of growing so exponentially now as well. It's really, where Donaldson's office is. I mean, that's just a phenomenal area.
Yeah, y'all's office is on East Boulevard behind the gas station on the corner of East and South.
Fantastic chicken.
Victorian White House. I love their chicken. Fried chicken.
Dude, just real quick, drive down South Boulevard. I tried to count the cranes yesterday, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing, and they're building 220-plus story buildings that I could hit a golf ball and hit.
Yeah,
from that office.
And there's restaurants going up, everywhere.
It is amazing. I run the rail trail often. I'll check into the down and run down there. It's just so cool to see. So cool to take in. Well, Matt, I do want you to stick around for the last segment. Maybe we can get one of these beautiful young ladies or both say a little something on the radio. We got Matt Dorn with Dorn and Jones. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Hayson from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent, what do you do if you miss the last segments?
You check us out on the podcast. You can find us on all social media types, at Home with Roby. And this show is Matt Dorn Jones. He's
Hello.
Over here. Man, he got a nice smile. And we have Andy and Allie. Is that right?
Yes.
So how often are y'all on the radio?
Never.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, then we did do karaoke yesterday.
Wait, y'all are on you're on TV though, right?
No.
Not even on really? Huh. So karaoke, what songs did you sing?
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, mostly that. Or like his songs.
You did probably. Do a good Guns N' Roses for me, both of you.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
You?
Yeah. Guns N' Roses. I do like
special.
That.
I ask them for special requests.
Matt, did you sing Taylor Swift?
I did not. No.
No party in the USA?
No, no. We did have that, though.
We tried to get you to do that.
They tried to get me, yeah.
He wouldn't do
it. I do a fine Jagger clap, so I'm happy to do, you know, some Rolling Stones.
I was about to say the Beatles, maybe.
Yeah, you know.
No, I gotcha.
Well, the favorite song in my house right now is Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus. Do y'all know that song?
Yes.
They love that.
That's a good song. Hey, it's not a bad song because it's an upbeat song. It's got a good vibe, and everybody's happy and smiling. So where do you guys go to school?
St. Matthew. Yeah, and I'm going to Holy Trinity next year.
Cool. Your transition is now you're going to middle school.
Yeah.
Cool. Congratulations. Did y'all have an elementary school graduation?
I did, yep.
Yeah, that's pretty big time. Big memory in my heart talking about that. So what do y'all have planned for the summer?
We're going to England.
Oh, I don't know why you would go to England. Have y'all been to England?
God's country. That's why.
Have y'all been to England?
Yes. We stopped going since COVID, so.
Yeah, this will be their first time seeing my family.
So how long are we going to England for? The whole summer?
About 3 weeks.
3 weeks. So first time since COVID, really?
Well, for them.
For them.
I went back recently, but yeah, first time for the guys.
Wow. How long of a flight is that?
Like a long time. I don't feel like sitting.
You don't feel like sitting? You could bring like an iPad or something with you.
Yeah.
Well, they got movies on it, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Binge movie.
So, what is y'all's favorite? Let's start with Andy. What's your favorite thing about going to England?
Seeing my cousins.
Seeing your cousins, Allie. Is that your favorite thing?
No, I like going to the castle and seeing the guys with the furry hats.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Going to see those are royals, right? Or they work for the royal family or something?
Like
my mom lives very near Windsor Castle.
Oh, man.
So, which is spectacular to go and see. You don't really appreciate it until you go back, really. So we've been around there a few times. Buckingham Palace.
Man, I hear you. That's like going to our version of the White House, right? Some kind of way.
Yeah. I mean, just with more history.
I'm joking.
Just with actual history.
he was about to say, yeah, but better. Easy. Easy.
Man. You get to hang out with your cousins. Do y'all go to the pool? What are y'all going to do?
I'm not sure yet. Probably like just adventure.
And having what?
Adventure.
Adventure?
Yes.
Wow, do y'all like to eat fish and chips?
Ew, no.
No, I hate fish.
I love fish and chips. So that was one of my favorite things about going to London.
Well, if you don't like fish and chips, what do you eat over there? What's your favorite thing to eat?
Granny Grandma does you some good food, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah, that burger that she makes is so good.
Yeah.
Burger?
Yeah.
What else does she do for you?
Pasta. Yeah, she makes that.
Sausage pasta salad. Yeah.
Good.
Well, this is awesome. So you're going to London for 3 weeks. You get to see your grandparents, which is awesome. Matt's family, your dad's family. You get to see your cousins and hang out with them. I know how special that is. What did we got anything for the rest of the summer?
Camps and stuff with my family, I guess.
I hear you.
Yeah.
We're gonna be spending a lot of time at the pool, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are we gonna go to Florida?
And you're gonna go and see.
Go see Kirby's family.
Yeah.
Okay. She's still down in
It's always nice Florida in the summer. It's beautiful.
That's pretty funny.
No coat required.
So, do y'all play any sports?
I play soccer and horse riding.
Oh. Yeah. Both of y'all, what do you do?
So, I just do rec soccer, and she does, like, more competitive soccer and... Yeah.
And you're both playing a bit of golf, aren't you now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Pickleball.
Hope you're better than your daddy. Nah.
Sadly, yes. I mean,
I'm joking. That is cool. My daughters are kind of getting into golf as well. Well, thank y'all for being here.
You're welcome.
Y'all have a wonderful summer, please, and I look forward to hanging out with you. Now y'all met Piper, so we have to get y'all together.
Yep.
Cool. Okay, Matt, how can people look up Doran Jones?
Website, doranjones.com. That's the easiest way.
Yeah, and you love employing veterans, so if you're a veteran,
Please apply. There's a careers page there. you know, we're always hiring good people. Yeah, and thanks very much for giving me the time today.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
Brilliant, as always.
Wonderful show. So fun. Thank y'all ladies for being here. Go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated and carry a smile on your face. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening to At Home with Roby.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.